And this morning's reading continues from the book of God's Revelation. In the final age of the earth, at the threshold of the consummation by fire, man as flesh, not made in the image of God, has need of gathering places where the light is quickened for the good of the soul. For the word has revealed that God shall indeed send a divine redeeming fire to enlighten souls and burn up that wickedness, first loosed by Satan and the fallen angels of darkness, lest the heretical nations ruin the world and the races. It is good that humankind restore order on earth in justice, love, peace, wisdom, and understanding, thereby limiting the power of evil and of man. The temple of uncut stones is given for a blessing and for the guidance of the nations and their peoples. This revelation brought to mind the promise made years before by the voice of heaven, as recorded in the prophecy to the Christian churches. And the man remembered the words, "Light will triumph over darkness on earth if man wills it, for darkness does not rule over God or the worlds of light, wherein dwell his immortal angels and the redeemed of the earth. And by this means will the temple of God be established on earth in the end times. And let there be established a shrine in commemoration of this prophecy. And when land is bestowed upon the community, God shall favor it with a special blessing. And you shall know it by the pillar of light from the sky wedding heaven with earth. And water shall flow out of an outcropping of rock, and God's living waters shall mingle therein. And a cross shall appear over the face of the sun as a sign from heaven that Christ has blessed the sight. And you shall call this shrine God's waters. And members of the community may come and be blessed here. And all manner of marvelous cures shall transpire according to the will of God. And it shall be as a refuge for members of the Holy Family, seeking healing and rejoicing by the waters of the earth and the sun in which they shall bathe. The islands of the Temple Mount and the sanctuary were those very mountains rising above the floor of the desert, which in earlier times had been the seabed of an ancient inland sea. And the man marveled at the mysteries that are fulfilled in time reckoning of a divine cycle not known to any mortal. The man walked the Temple Mount, marking the lesser mounts as he went. And he came upon a vastness of time-worn rocks and boulders arranged as a garden, hewn from the earth by water, wind, and sun. The stones in all shapes and sizes were unchiseled and unpolished. Some, struck by lightning, lay open to the sky, split apart like giant eggs. A large rock supported a juniper tree, its branches laden with ripened berries, blue under the sun, that grew out of the solid stone like a rod placed there by the hand of God. The impressions created by the light and shadows on the stones made them a living oracle, speaking stones telling of strange and wondrous things. And the man read the writing thereon as if it had been cut by Shamir in the language known only to the prophets. He read the fate of the nations and the future of many peoples, and he saw faces that he recognized from the past appearing out of the rocks. And as he intently observed the stones, he watched their surfaces changing with the time of day. And the man did mark the area, calling it the Garden of Oracles, for the word that had ceased to speak with the former prophets would now speak anew for a divine oracle of Urim and Thummim under God. Afterwards, he returned to the height of the Temple Mount, and sitting on a rock beneath a juniper tree, he looked up at the noon sun, high in the sky, encircled by a rainbow and marked with the cross of enlightenment, that God had set over its face as a sign of the new covenant made with the righteous of the earth.